Welcome to The Culture's Money. The Culture's Money is a podcast created to discuss how we multiply the $1.2 trillion in spending power possessed by the American Black community through the vehicles of investing, personal finance, ownership, networking, and most importantly, collaboration. We are the culture, baby, and we are the financing that we've been seeking. Now, let's get into this money talk. And here's your host, Jamal Vitos.
Welcome back. Welcome back, culture members. This is another episode of The Culture's Money. I think we're in the teens at this point. I've kind of lost count because I've been doing so many recordings, but I appreciate you guys listening in, giving your reviews, you know, making requests. It's definitely appreciated. I am your host, Jamal Vito. Some of you may know me on other social media platforms as Leo Grand Prince. However it is that you know me, I hope you know me to be an advocate for financial literacy and Black wealth creation. I am very happy for today's guest because I think she embodies one of the chief reasons that I started this podcast is for people to give authentic, realistic expectations in regards to what they're doing in wealth creation, finance, investing, whatever their vehicle is. And I've been following her on both Instagram and Twitter for the last maybe like 6 months or so. So I want to introduce you guys to Miss Millie to the show.
Hi. Yeah, my name's Millie. I am Millistate on Twitter. I am Millistate on Instagram. I'm an investor. I am a wholesaler. I still work a full-time job. You know, I'm just all around, you know, different individual. But yeah, so I'm primarily into real estate and entrepreneurship. That's my whole spiel.
So, good, you gave me your Twitter handles and everything like that, so we might not
right.
Have to do that later. I read some, I kind of went through your Twitter after we booked the recording to see that you kind of started early while you were... Were you in college when you started getting into real estate?
Well, actually, not necessarily. So, like, in college, I knew I wanted to, like, own real estate. I wanted to own property. But I didn't know, like, I wanted to be, like, full-time, full-on until I graduated. And I actually realized, excuse me, like, I took one of those courses from one of my friends. He started teaching me about wholesaling. So, that's when I kind of kicked it off. That was about, like, in 2016. Excuse me. So I actually started learning, educating myself that entire year about wholesaling from like 2016 to 2017. I took action in 2017, but we'll get more into it later, I'm sure. But yeah, so I just basically started educating myself once I graduated from college.
Now that's dope. Like I think that's the first time someone's ever told me that they got into whatever field they're in, taking a class from a friend. Because, you know, most of the time, small business owners or entrepreneurs or whatever they do, always saying that their friends are the last adapters. So, was it like, was he making big moves? Did you just trust his instincts? What made you take the class necessarily from him?
Yeah, so what made me like really interested was because I already knew he was a hustler, right? Like he was a guy that he used to throw all the parties in college. So he had a track record of actually knowing how to make money. That's key right there. But the other thing too is he actually posted like his check. Like he posted a check and he said, "Look, I did this. I didn't have a lot of money. I didn't use too much of my I didn't use any of my credit." So it was attractive to me because I was in the same space he was, meaning like I didn't have great credit and I didn't have that much money, but he still had a $5,000 check. So I was like, how can I get to that level? Like, how can I get that check the same way you could do it? Because I looked at him, he was my friend, we were no different. So I'm like, if he can achieve it, I know I probably could do it too. So once he told me, okay, you know, I'm having this class, you know, and to be honest with you, I didn't have that much money in my account. Like, let's say I had like $100 in my account and the class was $30. I still paid the $30 just for that class because I was so serious about investing in myself and my education with this whole real estate game. So that's basically how it happened. literally trusted him from his track record of being like, you know, that hustler, but also seeing the results, like actually seeing him like, oh, I posted a check, like this is real.
Teach me the game, Ghost. Teach
yeah,
me the
that's
game.
How I was. Exactly. Yep. That's
no, it's exactly funny what happened. That you say that because the mentality that you said, you was like, I only got $100 left, but I'm willing to gamble $30.
Yeah.
On this skill set, and I think the thing that I'm getting from a lot of the people that I interview and I can relate to is that people are willing to spend money to make money.
Exactly.
And, I think it sounds like a simple concept, but so many people don't have that. If it's going to cost them $50, they're not with it. Because they feel like if it's no guarantee, then I'm not going to spend the money. I'm not going to invest it. And they kind of miss out on opportunity. So it's
exactly
funny that you would say that because there's no guarantees. A lot of us, I mean, I'm not sure how you work, but when I started investing in stocks, like, though I hit, like, really big on my first initial stock, it was, like, 2-3 years before I made any more money.
Right, right, exactly, yeah.
Because, you know, I just lucked out the first try, but I had to go through some growing pains to learn those, you know, those losses, those scenarios, you know.
Yeah, and some people don't want to go through that. You know, they don't want to go through just, you know, taking a few L's and eventually getting to your W's. Like, people don't want to do that. The other thing I want to say, too, specifically for Black people, you know, a lot of Black people are just so focused on surviving. You know, there's no, we don't have a sense of investing, you know what I mean? Of investing and getting a return. It's just more, get a return. It's just more so about, hey, I'm just trying to get through the next week. You know, I'm just trying to pay my bills for the next 2 weeks. You know, I'm just trying to work to make sure these bills don't get cut off. So I think for specifically for Black people too, especially, you know, we're so heavy on surviving. We never really got the chance to really look at our finances and think, what can I do? What areas can I cut? You know, where can I actually become the person where I am now? I want to save my money. I want to own stocks. I want to own property. So, you know, now I can see that in our culture right now, too, a lot. You know, we're really shifting. Even the older individuals, I have a lot of people in my family that are actually caring about their credit, actually caring about owning property, actually caring about, you know, doing different things with their money and not just spending it frivolously. Frivolously, I can't even say it.
No, but you're saying something because I saw a quote that I love that I may have started seeing it late last year that said you can tell who was raised on love and who was raised on survival.
Yeah,
because like, and I see it all the time, like it that survival mentality are the people who are cutthroat for no reason. It's different. I'm in business. Like there are certain times where cutthroat is a theatrical execution. You do it on purpose because it serves the purpose of a deal. But then you have those people who are just cutthroat all the time. Like everything is a survival mode. They will slit their own mother's wrist if it will get them to survive to the next week.
Exactly.
And I'm just like, whoa, bro, that's a different type of mentality.
Yeah. And it's almost like they grew up in a world where, you know, like literally what's mine is mine, you know, there's no sharing. You know what I mean? Like, you know, a lot of people say when they grew up in their household, some people like they can't drink certain drinks or they can't eat certain food. You know, that's literally the society that, you know, a lot of people live in.
And I brought you on because I love, I caught a couple of tweets of yours like recently in the last 2 weeks that really touched me because I don't know if you ever see my tweets, but I hate guru Twitter.
Yeah.
And flashy Twitter that makes everything look good and it's always, you know, always sunshine and gold. And you tweeted a picture of a property you had just got and it was literally like a branch tree going.
Yeah, exactly.
And you were like, for all y'all who think that rehabs are always glorious, this is about to cost me a pretty penny.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you tweeted something else about, you know, that, you know, renovation in real estate is not all fun and games. Like, yo, sometimes it really hurts. And I wanted you to talk more about that because sometimes I think people in all forms of what I call Black Wealth Twitter now make it seem like it's so easy to get in, which it is in all aspects of different things. But a lot of this, like, yo, that grind takes a while sometimes. And even when you're established, some of those deals still hurt. So yeah. I wanted you to expand more on that. What do you, when you were there, like, how did you feel when you saw that branch in the house?
Yeah. So like for me, like I'm gonna say right now, I'm nowhere near. I'm not saying you were saying it, but I'm nowhere near even established. So like even with people seeing what I post on social media and what I do, the flips, everything, the checks, whatever I post, that's not even, that's literally like 1% of where I'm really trying to be at. So I'm still in grind mode. So that should show to people, like, if you never even did a deal, if I'm telling you I'm still in grind mode, you have a long way to go. So you have to understand that first. There's a lot of people that, you know, it may seem like they got, you know, a whole lot going on, but they're still in grind mode too, because a lot of us, you know, we're trying to have that real generational wealth, as, you know, we always talk about. So like for me, you know, I see problems like when I posted that that tree, right? Yes, that stuff still kind of bothers me, or it still kind of gets me like, oh my gosh, you know, here's another, you know, here's a property that, you know, we're gonna have to do X, Y, and Z to. But at the same time, I've done it not just with a partnership with somebody that is even more experienced with me, because I have a business partner too that handles the the construction. So that's one part of it. But the other part is that you have to like get through it to like actually get through it, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? You have to look at so many different houses and fix different houses to understand that we can do this, is no problem. You know what I mean? So, you know, people might see stuff like that and then, oh, you know, that looks like too much, I won't be able to handle it. And you may not be able to handle it on the first time, but at the end of the day, you know, this whole game, whether it's real estate, entrepreneurship, whatever it is, it's just not sweet. You know, it takes work. It takes a lot of, it's going to take a lot of sleepless nights. It's going to take a lot of money, and it's going to take a lot of time. So, you know, what I suggest to people too is, if you really want to get into something, like, you just weigh out the pros and cons. Like, is this something I really want to get into? Like, look at the problems, look at the risks that are involved, because people don't think about that too. They don't think about the risk. For example, we had a contractor. Thankfully, we have insurance and everything, but a brick fell on his head. But you know, we had a contractor, a brick fell on his head. Thankfully, he was okay. But that's just one of the things that happens when you're doing construction. You have risks. You have people that could break in. You have the property itself could, you know, catch a fire while you're, excuse me, doing construction. There's so many different risks. So when you see somebody flipping a house, that wasn't an easy job. I don't care what anybody say. It's never an easy job. So like even with you investing in stocks and, you know, making profits, that takes a lot of time to learn about the stock. That takes a lot of money to invest in the stock. So it's not easy. So, you know, I'm a big proponent of, I don't want, you know, people to think like you can just get in the game and, you know, everything's going to be fine, you know. Or I don't even like when people try to get in the game just to get in the game. Like, no, if you need to educate yourself, if you need to educate yourself for another 6 months, if you need to lay low. I just met with somebody the other day. He's in a different business. He's in a vending machine business. He wants to get into real estate. And, you know, we talked a whole lot. We visit projects. And basically, you know, we said, like, look, if you have to wait a little longer to find a good deal, wait a little longer. Save more money. Like, you don't have to. If I present you with a deal right now and it don't really make sense, you would have to push it to make sense. Don't just buy it just because you want a deal. Just wait, you know, wait until the deal is good enough and you can afford it or whatever the case may be. So I just think people are like so hyped to get in the game. And, you know, people DM me all the time, oh, I want to flip houses, or I want to get into wholesale real estate. I want to do all these different type of things. But, you know, your mindset has to be right first. You have to be able to understand that there's so many different risks involved. You can get sued, you know, people can get hurt. So if you're okay with that, then you can move forward.
And that. But I think and I said this yesterday because I was kind of irritated because Wealth Cutter said something that I felt like I'm financial literacy isn't just a trend for me. It is a passion. Like, I was doing it before Wealth Twitter was a thing. Like, it was just me and a couple other people, and I was doing it for free, no funds, because I wanted to get us the information that needed to be got. That was basic mm-hmm. information before we even got into the complex things. But somebody told mm-hmm. people that the Birkin bags outperform stocks over mm-hmm. the last 40 years, which is technically true. But I was like, please don't put this mm-hmm. nonsense out here without context so you can mm-hmm. participate in spreading more financial illiteracy where people feel as though mm-hmm. they can go buy these mm-hmm. luxury items when they really can't afford it. It's not about the luxury items and people not spoiling themselves. Mm-hmm. It's about they really can't afford them in the first place. And now they'll go and buy the Birkin bag because it doesn't mm-hmm. lose their value. Doesn't mean you can afford it. Same difference with some of these things. I see a lot of people because they're afraid mm-hmm. that money's going to run out. That everybody mm-hmm. that's currently in Black Wealth Twitter is going to make all the money. And if they wait the year or two, like you said, to study and wait for the deal that makes sense or get themselves together, there's going
yeah,
to
that's
be
a,
none,
yes, that's,
no money
that's
left. It's
true.
Like a fear
very
mentality.
True. This whole scarcity mindset, yeah.
It's like a fear mentality. Right. It's like, excuse
yeah,
me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yo, money's always going to be there. And it's more than enough money to go around in a community for one. I say this because we're barely
exactly.
spending money
yeah.
in our own community as it is. All the money leaves the community as a whole. So that $1.3 trillion in spending power, mm-hmm. we haven't even begun to tap that. So calm
yeah.
down. It's more than enough money to circulate for everybody to get a piece. If you do it right, you'll be able to get a piece now.
Exactly.
And
yeah, exactly.
100
and like, here's the thing. Like, there's so many other races winning so much more than us. You know what I mean? Than us. So like, and it's a lot of them. Like, look at the population of Chinese. Like, it's a lot of them. And let's be real. They all got, a lot of them have money. So there's an abundance of money
right.
that's there. Now it's up to the people though that sees the opportunity to actually seek it, but you know, educate yourself in the process. You know?
Sure. Now you got a partner, and you said the partner handles the construction portion of it. Does that help you? I mean, I'm sure that's a load off your weight, whereas you know the angle that you're working. So do you find the properties? Do you do the interior?
Yeah, so our
design?
Partnership
How does your
is
partnership
basically I do find borderline all of our properties because what I do, how we connected was from me finding him property. So with the wholesale real estate game, I would basically find properties mm-hmm. from distressed homeowners, lock them up under contract, and sell that contract to an end investor. He was one of those end investors at a point in time. And after a while, I wanted to hold some of these deals. But let's say I didn't have the full money for the construction or, you know, I did have some money, but not all of it or whatever. I would basically bring the deal to him. I'm coming. I'm already valuable. I'm saying, listen, this is the numbers for the deal. This is what we need. And this is the profit that we'll get on the back end if we flip it together. And this investor specifically was like, look, let's do it together. I don't have to pay you no wholesale fee. We just flip this house together and, you know, we get the fees on the back end. So that's how our partnership worked. And he does manage a lot of the construction. I may manage construction as well, like come visit the job site to make sure things are in play. But we basically just work together. Like when it comes to like the design, everything, we just literally are like a real partnership. Like, hey, you know, this looks good. I found this, you know, tile or things like that. Like that's kind of how we work. But in terms of like the meaning managing the guys, he does that a lot. Like telling the guys they need to show up this day or whatever. I do a lot of that, and I handle a lot of paperwork and things like that. So that's kind of how our partnership works.
I'm assuming that now you've learned some of the construction lingo, like in the techniques and anything like that, because.
Because we don't have a construction company. We just GC the project. I don't have the GC license. He has the GC license. So we're the general contractor of our own projects. And basically like we subcontract. So everybody else, like we have guys that do the plumbing, guys that do the framing, things like that. So we just manage them to make sure it gets done and get the materials and things like that. Right now, I do have a rehab right now that I'm funding my own self, like, you know, no partnership funding. I'm funding it my own self. And I'm like, I'm doing the whole thing myself or whatever. So, but what I can say is finding that partnership is really valuable, because not only you're learning from that person, but you also learn along the way. And it's not, if you're valuable to the person, like I brought the person a deal, then it makes sense. You know what I mean? I brought them a cheap enough deal where they don't have to pay any extra fees, but you know what? We're going to split these fees on the back end. And I have my resources too. I have a couple of dollars that I'm bringing into the table, and we're going to flip this property together. So that's kind of like if you're looking for a mentor, try to find a mentor, but also try to find a mentor that could possibly be a partner in a deal with you with anything. So that's what I recommend too. But you have to bring value though. Right. So like for me, I had properties that I was selling. For somebody else, I don't know. I can't think for stocks, but like you just have to be basically valuable to somebody else. I know. I was trying to think about
I get what you're saying. What's his name? John Henry said, and I agree with this. He was like, if you're the poorest partner in the deal, be the smartest partner in the deal. He was like, be the one that's knowledgeable. Know, like in real estate, I would guess, be the one that knows the zoning laws, know how to get the plans approved, something like that. I think some people sometimes, they get stuck on the financing thing. When I've learned in business, it's not always about money. Some people will put up the capital if you handle the day-to-day operations.
Exactly.
Like they don't want to do that. They don't want to do that nonsense to them. Yep. To them, that's stuff they don't want to do. And to them, that's just as valuable as capital, because the job that you're doing, they would have to pay someone to do.
Exactly.
So you're saving them money in a different way, therefore adding capital appreciation to the deal in a different aspect. But people get so tight-lipped and so focused on the actual physical capital that they limit their opportunities.
Exactly. Yeah, because there's so many different ways that you can be valuable to a person that you just literally you can just ask someone, what is it that they need? You know, you can literally ask them, what is it that you need? What is it that you're struggling with? And you know what? Let me tell you what I'm struggling with, and we can actually build a partnership. Because, for example, we had someone, she was starting a photography business, a real estate photography business, but she was doing the virtual, like this was pre-COVID too, so it was pretty good. But she was doing basically the virtual photography where you can feel like you're inside the home. So we were already mentoring her a little bit on some real estate stuff, but she started this business and she said, look, I know y'all need this photography right now. COVID started up. I could do the photography for free. All I need you to do is just shout me out, you know, say that I did this virtual photography for you. You know, something as simple as that. She knew
that is brilliant. That is brilliant. You know why people forget that before we had money, we used to barter.
Exactly.
Right? We used to barter services. And people need to expand their horizon of what an asset or an exchange of service is. Everything does not need to be cash. Sometimes they really forget. Marketers will tell you sometimes the advertisement is worth more than the cash.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Like sometimes that retweet or that 500 views on somebody's Insta stories, that got you the money. Like
exactly, the exposure in itself.
Like they got you the clientele, they got you all this and all that. And I say only that because I can't tell you how many times I've shouted out some of my friends and then someone will say, oh, like, do you know them? Because I need a logo made, blah, blah, blah. Yep, here you go. Mm-hmm, here go contact information. Mm-hmm. Because that is what it is. And it's funny that you say that, because that's really why I think people need to go. And I think people, well, in the culture specifically, we've narrowed what we consider assets down, which has limited the amount of opportunities that we're taking.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, people forget that people are assets too.
Yeah. So I know you do your real estate in the Philly area, right?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. I'm assuming that you were born and raised there.
Yes, born and raised in Philadelphia. My family though is from Trinidad, so
oh, nice.
They're not. Yeah, they're not. they're Americanized now, I would say, but you know, they came here with $20, so that's where I like kind of come from.
Now, did you, when you got into the game, of course you were wholesaling, did you look outside of the Philly or PA area to get some comparisons, or did you just started where you were because you know you knew the, you know, you knew the background, you knew the roads, all that, and it was just comfortable for you then?
Yeah, I started in my backyard mainly because I don't want to say that I was scared, but I just wasn't knowledgeable enough. Like I'm the type of person that I like to just get this done first. You know, mm-hmm. like I'm not going to say, hey, I'm going to focus on Baltimore, Chicago, everywhere else because they have, you know, vacant properties too, or they need help too. I can't do that. Me, I'm kind of one track minded, which is good and bad. So like I wanted to focus on, okay, where two things. One, I want to focus in Philadelphia, PA. That's where I'm from. That's my backyard. But let's even go further. What zip codes, what areas, you know, that I'm near, like, you know, where they really have a need and I'm right, you know, I'm close to it. Because even when I started, I didn't even have a car. So, mm-hmm. like, I had to be, like, either in Ubers or walking in my own neighborhood.
That's what I'm talking about. The
exactly.
grind. The grind.
Yeah. So, like, I had to literally walk. The first property I got on the contract, I actually walked around my area and found the property. And it was a distressed homeowner. And they basically said, I sent them a letter. And they basically told me, yes, I do want to sell my house. And, you know, we got it under contract. But that all started from me just walking around. So, and that for me walking a dog, actually, I was walking a dog with my mom and we just walking around. I was telling her what I was starting to do. And we started I started jotting down properties. So it all came from me looking in my own backyard. And then I started venturing out into different zip codes. Even to this day, I still don't do anything outside of Philadelphia only because there's so much opportunity in Philadelphia itself. I will eventually do virtual in other states. But here we have so many vacant properties, so many vacant lots, so many distressed people.
It sounds like
just.
I definitely feel you.
Yeah, it's definitely like that. So I have to kind of, I want to focus on my area because I can still get cheap properties here too. So yeah. I definitely want to focus, continue.
You may never, I mean, you may never, you may actually never leave mm-hmm, Philly. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know another real estate female on Philly who's been doing it 20 years and she has yet to leave. No, she's got a property she's doing in LA now, which is, I think, actually.
Yeah, you're talking about Aisha.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think the LA one's her first one, but she, out of the 32 that she has, 31 of them have been in Philadelphia.
Yeah. We tweeted about that before, just how valuable the Philadelphia market is.
Yeah, and I think of that because I think I'm going to start at the end of the year getting my first maybe duplex or triplex because Baltimore is just so vast. And some of my mm-hmm. friends say, when you go on, after you get the first one, other areas, I'm like, I could spend a life's work just doing Baltimore because mm-hmm. they're 20,000.
And that's where you're from.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I said I could spend 40 years doing that, making a good amount of money and never leave the zip code. Like,
yeah, and I'm going to be honest with you. The next place that I would venture out, it would be a place like that. It would be like Baltimore because they just have so much opportunity.
Right.
Yeah.
And we always say that Baltimore and Philly are very much like cousins.
Exactly.
Like,
yo, yes.
You go off the turnpike, it's like going to see your cousin around
exactly.
the
corner.
Yep. One dope thing about you, and I see a lot of my other guests I have on there and other people that I follow, and we talk about this all the time, the value of a strong partnership. And I'm not just talking about business wise, but a partner is a part of like a spouse or a significant other. Mm-hmm. How does that play a role in like having that supportive backbone when you're doing these type of things? Because people forget that entrepreneurs and investors, yo, sometimes in them dark nights, mm-hmm. you be in your thoughts. You need somebody
exactly.
to have your back telling you, yeah, I know it's hard, mm-hmm. or you made a mistake, but try it again. How valuable is that having, you know, a loved one or, you know, that love companion
yeah.
kind of cheering you on?
Yeah, that's super important. Like last night, I was kind of talking about it a lot on Twitter because basically, you know, a lot of people right now, I understand we're all in our 20s. We playing around. Everybody's dating. You, you may or may not find your companion. That's fine. But, you know, at a point in time, you're going to have to stop with that. Because if you truly are trying to build, you don't want to just do it alone. You want to build with somebody else. Mm-hmm. So, like, having that partner, right, not only gives you the encouragement, but it's, like, also that support where, let's say, you know, I'm stressed out about a deal. They're giving you their opinion on, I'm an outside person. Let's say I'm not even involved. Let's say your partner's not even involved, but, you know, they see you grinding. They see you working hard. They're like, listen, you know, it's all going to work out because they seeing it from their point of view, like you're a hustler, you're a grinder. So they're giving you that support to keep going and keep going harder. And it gives you like a why. So like, let's say this is you're dealing with somebody and this is somebody you want to marry and y'all talk about kids and the legacy you want to leave. That should give you enough fuel to keep going in itself. Y'all talking about your future and saying, hey, you know, I want this house, I want this backyard, you know, things like that. Like, it's super important to have those conversations with your partner if you're serious with them, because that will fuel you to keep going. Like, whenever you're upset and your partner's saying, look, you know, everything's going to be okay. This is a part of your process. I see you grinding every day. You're going to be fine. You know, you're going to talk to your partner and say, you know what? You're right. You know, I'm grinding every day. It just gives you that reassurance. That's what everybody needs sometimes. Just a little bit of reassurance. And you can't get that. And, you know, you can't just get that from a friend. A friend is going to tell you, yeah, girl, you know, you're doing well. But, like, when it's your partner, it's different. You know, your friend is going to say, yeah, girl, you're fine. But your partner is like, I'm really there with you. I hear all your problems. So,
no, seriously. Like, and some of my most successful friends on Twitter and, like, the people I follow, they had their partner. And I'd be saying, and people be thinking I'd be joking when I tweet it. I'm like, yo, God, I need a wife. Because, like, it's just, I need that extra... that extra level, that extra. So I feel exactly. Like partners give you something that you can't see. They're the missing yes. ingredient. Like they have a different, like you say, a different point of view. Mm-hmm. They see parts in you that you don't even see.
Yeah.
Feel like sometimes when I'm working some of these deals, like I got the ambition, I got the intellect, mm-hmm. but I'm missing something that only a partner can give me.
Yeah. And here's the thing too. A lot of us, we underestimate ourselves. Like, we think that we can't do certain things, and we're like, ugh, you know, I can't do it, or it's too hard. And your person say, but you did this other thing, and that was even harder than this. Or, you know, you could do, you know what I mean? So there's certain things that your partner will bring out of you that you didn't even know you had. I would say the years that I've been with my partner, I've grown so much just because she showed me, like, listen, you know, you're way better than where you were when we first met. So I think that's super important. I hope you find one this year.
Please, pray for me.
You know, dating during COVID. I don't know how that worked, but.
I only brought that up because I think the culture exactly. sometimes downplays what an asset is. And a supportive mm-hmm. partner is worth their weight in gold. Because you need someone who eventually, like you said, they're going to be your spouse, and mm-hmm. your business or your investing is going to continue. And you need to know if they're going to take those risks with you. Are they going to make these investments with you? You have to know their risk tolerance, their understanding of what you're going to do and how you move and all that. And all of that is essential into you creating yeah. generational wealth, because your mindsets have to
yeah, be and does your partner your even respect the fact that you want to be all let's say you want to be an entrepreneur or a real estate investor. Do they even respect that? Do they think in their head, well, that's, you know, that's too much. I don't want to do that. I just want to work, pay my bills, and that's it. You know, is that the type of person that you want to deal with if you have these big dreams? Because you really can't deal with somebody if they have these small dreams that they just, and there's nothing wrong with working, but does somebody say, mm-hmm. you know what, I just want to work the rest of my life. I don't care about owning any property or owning any stocks. I don't care about that stuff. If somebody has that viewpoint and you don't, that will never work, because you will be so busy talking about all these great things that you're doing or you want to do, and they're not going to want to hear it. So you definitely want to have a partner that actually exactly. matches you, matches, you don't have to be exactly the same, but literally matches that same interest that you have. And, you know, like you said, that person is an yeah. asset, because if you think about it, let's say a person is dating around, you know, they're dating around, they're sleeping around, they're doing all types of things. Your phone is blowing up. You got five different, you know, women calling you, one chick saying she thinks she's pregnant. how was it, all of that is distractive to you actually doing what you need to do. Like, how are you getting money right now? You got like 5 different girls calling you saying that, you know, they're pregnant or they need money or whatever. But if you have one person in your corner, one woman, one man, whatever, and literally y'all just building together, exactly, the stability is critical. You won't have to worry about a million different people going on. No, you worrying about going on dates with your one single person, your one person. So it's just so important to have that partner. Because I can keep going.
How passionate you are.
Exactly. I can keep going, but I'm like, you know what? Let me stop right now.
No, but that's good. I think they need to hear all these different aspects from either the relationship aspect, the partnership aspect, the investing in capital. Everything's a good thing. But we're almost at time. I want to give you the last moment to give them, to instill in them some wisdom, some things, some experience, the benefit of your experience. Tell anyone who's trying to get in, not just real estate, but investing, entrepreneurship, tell them something that you feel that is critical for the process.
Yeah, so
of
the
getting
first
started,
thing, which is pretty generic, is just, you know, getting your mind right, understanding this is whatever it is you want to do, just understand that you're serious about it and you're not going to play any games. Because if you just go into it and not really think it through, you're probably going to play games. So just understand that part. Understand that you will fail many a times, or there will be times where things won't work out. You know, people will tell you no. People will not work with you if possible. People will burn you. There's many things that will happen when you're starting a, you know, a business or real estate, whatever you're doing. So understand that there's risk involved. Get your mind right first, and then understand that those are they're risk involved with whatever you're starting. Get the pros and cons. Why do you want to do it? Is it good? Is it gonna further me in life? Is it gonna hinder me in life? Am I passionate about it? Think about that, and then just really educate yourself. I think one of the main things is cleaning up that social media, getting your social media, your Instagram, your Twitter, making your social media part of a haven where you're learning every single day that you're going on there. I can say from experience, until I had like several Twitters before I had the one that I have now. And this one by far has been the most valuable Twitter account that I've ever had, because I've learned so much from the people that I follow. Just, you know, different things. I could tell you from experience right now, I never thought about owning like 40 acres, 50 acres, just owning land. I never thought about that. Even with me wanting to own houses and real estate, but I never thought about actually owning acres and acres of land. Now, because of social media, because of Twitter, I'm like, shoot, that's something that I want to do. You know what I mean? Because it's like, you know, you learn so much, not just about your own culture, but everybody else, what they're doing, and they're successful. And you know, it's just so many different things that, you know, you want to you learn about through social media. I'm just thinking about so many different things. But my partner, she just told me something, and I didn't know what she just said. She was like, say something, but I just totally forgot. But anyway. Okay. So yeah, basically, you know, learn about, okay, here's the other thing I said, following the right people, right? Last thing I'm going to say, before social media, Twitter, I never knew that a regular Joe Schmo could own a vending machine. I never knew that. So, you know, just because of social media, right?
Yeah.
Now I see that, like, you got people owning vending machines. Mm-hmm. Like, I never knew. I thought that was a big company thing. Like, you have people that are, like, owning acres of land, owning stocks, showing their portfolios of stock. So, to be honest with you, I just never knew a lot of those things were possible. I just was at a small scale, like, oh, I just want to own some houses. So following the right people on social media is key. I'm just going to say that part. And then from that, you should be able to educate yourself from that.
That is dope. You say a lot, and I agree with all of it. And that is very, very essential, the following the right people, making sure you're educating yourself from the information that you get on social media and all that. Well, we would like to thank Millie for coming on today. We definitely
appreciate
her taking some time out on her day today. No problem, no problem.
I am Millistate underscore on Twitter. And I am Millistate on Instagram. Do I follow you on Instagram? I think. Okay, perfect. Okay.
we follow each other on Instagram and Twitter. Yes. And we definitely hope as she progresses and does more dynamic things in real estate and other investing that she comes on, shares those experiences with us so we can pour into the listeners and all that. Maybe next time, since
partner's in the background telling us stuff, she can bring the partner on. You need
Yes, I'm always.
You need to start a little YouTube channel or something. Well. You know, have guests.
People keep telling me that. I'm like, I don't know if I'm ready for the camera yet. But
it would be really good. This was a very good podcast. It wasn't too formal. You know, you just kind of went with the flow. We had a conversation. And to me, that's something that would be amazing in person. I know it's kind of crazy because of COVID, but I think just how passionate you are, I think we need to definitely see you and see the guests. That would be perfect. A little, you know, talk show.
No, I definitely failed you. Like, what? Once it gets, once we get back to normal thing, the camera will be there. And I kind of agree with what you're saying, that the camera and the face-to-face adds a different dynamic. And the more I do these organic conversations, the more I want to see my guests face-to-face. So I'm definitely agreeing with you. And once I do that, I'll definitely have you on and we can do it all over again or as many times as you want. But definitely follow all of her social medias. Make sure that you get the information that she's given. She pours and she says very good content on Twitter, especially things that are down to earth and early and easy to digest. We'll have her on in the future. Please make sure that you guys subscribe to this podcast, leave your reviews, leave your notes, leave your content, and we'll be sure to post it soon.
That's right. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Culture's Money. You can follow Jamal on Instagram and Twitter at Leo Grand Prince. That's Leo Grand Prince. You can also get in contact with Jamal via Facebook and LinkedIn. Just type in his name. That's Jamal, J-A-M-A-A-L, Vitose, V-E-T-O-S-E. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time right here on The Culture's Money, baby.